But it's a joy to be back in church. It's good to be here. Good to be joining you on live stream if that's the way you're meeting with us today. However you are here, we're glad you're here. And we're so thankful for the work that got done last night and this morning to make the parking lot. We had it salted and things went on to make it presentable today. And so it's just good to be here. And hoping that everything gets shut down tomorrow for you. If you don't want to go to work, I'm hoping it's called off. If you want to go to work, bless your heart, I hope you get there. And if you've got school, then I hope it's called off and all those good things. And if you don't already have it, I already heard that it's already canceled for off for holiday tomorrow. So some people already have that taken care of. But we just trust the Lord. And like my dad says, I said, Dad's getting pretty cold. He said, well, it is January, son. So I said, well, Dad, thank you. My dad's the most logical person I know. And he doesn't give much comfort in his words. But, I want to look at Acts chapter 2. I'm going to preach the same message. I was going to preach this message because it goes with our theme or our emphasis that I want to preach through for a little while. But about this year, you'll notice your bulletin's different. And we've had this designed as vision day and vision night. And again, we'll postpone that to next week. But I want to preach this message because I believe it's the message for the hour. You find your place in Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. While you're finding your place there in Acts, I did hear about this lady that she lost her, shut her credit card, so lost it. But her husband always told her, just be careful, don't lose that thing. You know, we could be in danger and all that. So she was so afraid to tell him. She didn't. It was lost for a little while. And he was happened to be home one day, and the credit card company called and said, well, Mr. Smith, we found the person that we found your credit card. It got stolen, and we found out who. He said, oh, really? He'd been watching his accounts. He noticed them and noticed there was charges, but she spent a lot. So he said, yeah, we found out who it is that stole your credit card from your wife. And he said, wow. He said, well, do me this favor. He said, would you tell them just to keep it? I'm saving so much money over these last couple months. Since they have it, not my wife, I like the setup we've got currently. So, ladies, that was hypothetical, of course. So, I had another joke in case that one didn't go over so well, and I can tell that didn't. So, I think I ostracized part of my crowd. So, let me try this one while you're finding your place there. I heard about way back, the soldiers were fighting the Indians. The Indians were coming in, and they were low on ammo, and so the soldiers, the ranking officers, saying, "Listen, we can't be wasting ammunition. So we've got to make sure that you use it just in pinpoint accuracy. We've got to wait till they get close enough so we can actually do some good with this." And so one of the soldiers sent the younger guy, said, "Go up to the top of the fort, look, see how close they are. They're riding off." And he said, "Well," he came back. He said, "Well, I'd say they're on the horizon." He said, "It's probably about that big." And he said, "You judge." He said, "I'd say they're a long way off then." A few minutes later, same officer sent the same private, said, "Go back up and check and see how close they are." He said, "Well," he came back, he said, "I'd say they're about that big." He said, "Well, they're getting pretty close." And he said, "Well," a few minutes passed, and he sent him on back again. He said, "Go back, see how big they are." He said, "Wow." He said, "They're close." He said, "They're about that big." He said, "All right, you go up there, tell every guy, fire at will, fire everybody, fire." And he said, "Boy," he said, "I hate to fire on those guys." That general said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I hate to fire them." He said, "I've been knowing him since he was that big." I just let it catch up with you. I've been knowing him since he was that big. So, sorry, folks. That's all I got. I only came with two. So, you're out of luck. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. We're taking as our theme, you may have noticed on the bulletin or in some things that you will be seeing, Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common." This next verse is not a command, but it's just what happened. Sometimes people take things out of context. "And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." You don't find that in the scriptures that you're commanded to do that. That's just what they did in this instance. "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to preach for these next moments about this. And you just read the practices of the early church is what that section really just highlights. And in just a little bit, I want to draw your attention to a word that you might not immediately think of. But before we get to that word, I want to think about this morning. This is where I'm coming from for the message. All of us look at some high-profile Christians, if you will. We have great men of God that come through here. Brother Scott Polley is a good friend and a friend of the church as well. And we look at somebody like that and say, boy, that he must really have this stellar walk with the Lord. We look at people like Preacher Lashley, who's has been so faithful for all these years and has made Buffalo Ridge, God did, but God used him to shape and mold much of the church and its history. And we look at people like him. And then, of course, there were many pastors before him. We look at people that used to come through Mays Jackson, who held revivals here and across this land, especially in North Carolina and Tennessee and around this area. And we look at great preachers that have gone and done great things. And the problem with looking at people like that, though, is we think, I can't attain to that. We can go on to a higher national level. We look at people who, a little different stripe, but people like Billy Graham, who was used of God to not only be in this nation, but get the gospel around the world. We say, wow, look at the faithfulness of somebody. We look at a pastor that would come, or evangelist that would come in, Dave Young's preach messages here, and we'll have Brother Johnny Pope will come later this year and preach a revival for us. And we look at those people, and we say, wow. And that's good, except sometimes we think, well, I could never attain to that. But I want to think about this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Late in life, William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, who all of us saw, the bell ringers, just again, we were reminded of that ministry and that agency just in recent months. William Booth was the founder of that, and he lost his eyesight later in his life, but he recovered it, and so he was blessed and thankful for that. But then as time progressed and some health issues came on, he lost his eyesight, and this time the doctor said it was going to be permanent. Well, his son Bramwell was the family member that was elected to go tell Dad because they knew that he wouldn't like the news. And so his son went and said, Dad, doctors say that your eyesight's not coming back this time. William Booth said, well, son, I did what I could for God with my eyes, and now I shall do what I can for God and for people without them. William Booth was a great man because he was faithful. Even when the situation didn't go good, we may look at it with favor and say, wow, look at the ministry that he started back years ago. But in that day, he was his little Salvation Army, because he listed his workers as little armies, and they said, well, we're not the general army, we're the Salvation Army. And the people of the day would have called his folks rabble, would have called them nuisances. Yet he thought, I want to reach the masses. But he was faithful he was used of God because he was faithful. And the word I want to draw for your attention in verse number 42 is that word continued. Because the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I want to preach about that a little while. This week, as some of you all have done the same, we said goodbye to the redhead. We sent her back over to Crown through tears. We cried and said, well, we hate to see you go. And she said, well, I hate to go. And I thought, well, if both of us agreed on that, why don't you stay home? But we sent her anyways. And so she'll finish up this semester. And God willing, she'll be done with that. But I thought about this as I was preparing the message. You know what the biggest problem with college is? Somebody's in college. Yeah, I know what it is. Some of this professors, those are the problems. Person like the person said, schools would be fine. It's just the principal of the thing I'm against. So, but the things that happen with college is not being kicked out. Well, some people do that. It's not having horrible grades. What stops most people from attaining a degree that they say they want is they don't continue. I know life happens, and sometimes it's necessitated. I understand that, but that's not my intent to put anybody down. I'm just saying that about anybody can finish if they want to just continue. And I want to look at a few things from these verses and think about this idea of continuing. First of all, in verse number 42, I see the need to continue. The need to continue is listed here because it says they continued steadfastly. If you were here last Wednesday night, I preached trying to lay some groundwork for this and being talked about being steadfast, unmovable. And these people, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, breaking bread and prayers. I bring this up because none of those things are difficult tasks. It's not hard to keep the same doctrine that somebody gave you. It takes more effort to change it and say, I'm going to go a new route. That's why I think the folks love our church, and certainly why I love it, and why I plan to say we're what was handed to us from the generation past, we'll try to our best to hand it to the generation after. We don't want to take the Bible and water it down to something less than it is. We don't want to take these things and diminish them and try to pass it off. It takes a lot of effort to change, but that's what a lot of folks do. And I say this continuing is not that big a deal because they continued in doctrine. That's not that hard. You just take what the faithful people before you had given. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. In fellowship, that's not hard. It takes some work. And one of the things we're trying to do at our church is make sure folks have an avenue of fellowship. One of the things I love about what's going on is our Oasis. Brother Dan is the first Tuesday of every month, or however it falls, is having our Oasis meeting. And it gives you an opportunity to bring some people in that wouldn't come to church, but they will come to an activity like that on a Tuesday. And so you get to fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. And I am so convicted sometimes that people get off track and they blame everything in life, but really all we have to do is keep on doing what God has given us to do. It's not flashy. It's not hard, but it's what most people lack. I see the need to continue. In 2005, Percy and Florence Arrowsmith held the record right then in that time, and I'm sure it changes, in 2005, Guinness Book of World Records, for being the longest married living couple. They were also held the record for the largest combined age. They had been married 80 years, and they were combined age of 205. Florence gave this advice on how to stay married. If you've got somebody who's been married 80 years and she's over 100 years or herself, she said this as far as advice of how to stay married. Never go to sleep, bad friends. Meaning, let not the sun go down in your wrath. Fix it before you go to bed. Now, Percy, his advice was a little bit more direct, and it was a little bit more maybe slighted his way. He said, this is the advice when they asked, well, what's the advice for long marriage? He says, I boiled it down to two words. And, of course, the reporter started thinking, well, this is going to be good. What words would it be that summed up 80 years of marriage, Guinness Book of World Records? What would it be? He said the two words are, yes, dear. But the truth is, our grandparents continued in marriage when it seems like our marriages can't. Our great-grandparents continued in marriage, and you say, yeah, but look at all the difficulties today. They weren't having a cakewalk back then. You think about those couples that came through the Great Depression. You think about them through the stock market crash. You think about them when they had literally nothing, not two nickels to rub together, yet many of them stayed together. And I submit to you today that they stayed through problems. They stayed married through problems just because they determined they were going to continue. I was thinking about this. You know, there's one sure way if you've got kids or you've got grandkids, whatever level of life you're in, you know there's one sure way for you to have your grandkids up at a funeral, say, Grandma and Grandpa, and then add and talk about your faithfulness. There's one sure way to do it. That is, be faithful from now till then. The problem is, that's a long time. I'm 48 years old. I'm hoping to live a long time. I'm hoping to live all the way till Jesus comes and gets us through the rapture. Now, granted, I would love for that to be today, but if it's not going to go through the rapture, I don't want to die. You say, why not? Well, it almost always includes pain. I spend a good bit of my life trying to stay away from pain. As I was coming out the house today, watching out for that ice, I was grabbing on. I like somebody on rehab. You know, I wanted to make sure I grabbed everything I could grab and then try to be careful on my way out the car. Why? I don't like pain. And I hear that a lot of times it accompanies death. And so I don't want to die. I want to go through the rapture. But I realize if my kids are ever going to say that Dad lived faithful, Dad continued, then there's one thing I have to do. I've got to live faithful and continue. But somehow we want it to be said about us. We just don't want to do what it takes to make it said. And so I see, first of all, the need to continue. They continued steadfastly. But I want you to see this, verse number 44 and 45. Continuing brought a great change. Look at verse 44, if you will. And all that believed were together. They had unity. They were together. They were together, and they were together in their possessions. In verse number 45, they were together in their goods, so much so they parted them. And they believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions. They gave them to all men as every man had need. There was something powerful about that doctrine and in the fact that they continued in it that brought a great change. Look at verse number 43. The Bible says, and fear came upon every soul. Let me take you, it was a Bible illustration. I'm speaking about this. There's the continuing that they did. It brought a great change. Let's think about the prodigal son for a little bit. We all know the story. You know as well as I. You could preach the message. So could I. One son stayed home. One son said, Dad, give me all that I've got coming to me. Probably I would have had an issue if I'd have been the dad and said, you ain't got nothing coming to you yet. I'm going to spend most of it, me and mama. We're going to spend it. What's left, you can take care. But he didn't do it that way. He sent him off. You know the story. And then he came to himself when he spent all of his money in riotous living. And in the hog pen, he says, my servants of my dad's house have better than I do. And so he comes back. Now, what the Bible doesn't say, but it would have had to have happened, and it lends itself so well to what I'm speaking about today, and that is this, that boy, however old he was convinced, because the Bible doesn't say he gave it any thought about it not being this way, he was convinced that his dad would still be in the same place that his dad was when he left. He didn't sit there and wonder and wring his hands and say, well, I hope Dad's still in the business. I hope Dad hasn't quit. I hope Dad hasn't given it up. I hope Dad didn't go into the city like I did. I hope Dad didn't run off and take what was left from the inheritance that he was going to spend. I hope he didn't go the other way. Hope he didn't go to and spend his living like I've spent my living. It gave no but didn't cross the son's mind. He just realized that Dad's back there waiting. I could go back at any time, and he was assuming that his dad was still there. And I'm speaking this morning about the continuing make a change, and that boy knew that his dad was continuing. My wife said it for a long time that when children go away that parents don't want them to go. She advised them every time that somebody asks, she mentions this, that we ought to give them some place to come home to. And I'm not meaning 169 Victory Lane where we live. I'm talking about a lifestyle. If they choose to go a different way, then we ought to make sure that we stay where we were when they were with us so that they don't get confused if they ever want to come back. And so we see this, the father obviously kept on and continued long enough for that prodigal to make his way back. This time of year, we're faithful for New Year's resolutions. I don't want to ask you how many made them. I don't want to ask how many are still keeping them. But you know what makes them work? It's doing the same good thing over and over and over and over again. Making good decisions for an extended period of time. It's the same with fitness. It's the same with money. It's the same with a house project. It's the same with a church project. It is doing the same thing over and over. It's continuing. And what the Bible says here, and they all believed and they had all things common, there was great fear that came upon them because they continued in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayers. None of which are hard items, but the difference was made when they stayed in them. Do you know what a church member needs to do, should do, pastor or church member? We ought to keep getting into the Word on a regular basis over a long period of time. Because that's what the Bible says when it talks about line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I get a little bit from church. I get a little bit from my Bible reading. I get a little bit from this preacher that I listen to. I get a little bit from this podcast, and I get a little bit from this devotional, here a little, there a little. But what we want is, we want to say, I opened it, I read it, I closed it, and God, you didn't do any great things in my life. The Bible is very keen on the need for continuing And then it shows that continuing brought a change. Let me show you what else it brought in verse number 46. Not only did it bring a change in verses 44 and 45, but it also brought a good spirit. Look in verse 46, if you will. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47, praising God. That continuing in that doctrine, in that fellowship, in that breaking of bread, it brought singleness of heart, praising God. Oh, to have been in that atmosphere of that early church, when it was so thick in there that they were selling everything they had and said, who needs something? Again, that's not a command to do that now, but that was what was literally happening right then. To be in that atmosphere where everybody was so concerned about the needs of somebody else, they said, I don't need what I've got. I'm going to sell it and give it to so-and-so. And that atmosphere where they were fellowshipping one with another, and there wasn't this, like churches get so well known for now, there wasn't this hypocrisy, and there wasn't this holier-than-thou attitude, and there wasn't this thing of, well, I'm doing better than you, and I made good decisions, and I did this. There wasn't any of that. The atmosphere was just pure, and it was loving, and that what a wonderful joy it would have been in that. But what brought that was they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and that doctrine eased its way into their lives, and they got to a place where they had singleness of heart and they were praising God. It brought the gladness and the praises. I don't want to make it all about the word, but truly, many Christians that I meet, their lives, they say to me, Brother John, it's falling apart. And when you dive in and investigate it, you find that they're not letting the book get in them. When you continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and you get in the book and you allow the book to get into you, it brings gladness of heart where there was worry and fatigue and unrest. Continuing brought a good spirit. Let me tell you this story. On the 100th anniversary of some white missionaries coming for the first time to Zaire, Africa. On this 100th anniversary, there were a gathering of a lot of Christian works were there by this time, sometime back. And the Christians gathered to celebrate. And near the end of the celebration, there was a very old tribal man that was going to give a speech. He said that he would soon die and he needed to tell what his purpose to come to there, or what his purpose was. There was something he needed to tell. That's why he came. He wanted to tell something that, as far as he knew, no other living person still knew. He said, through a feeble voice, when the white missionaries first came, my people, my ancestors, he said they didn't know whether to believe the message of these white people or not. And he said, my families devised a plan to slowly and secretly poison the missionaries, white people, and watch them die. He said, our families, the older people in my family, watched them one by one. The children and the adults became ill and died. But he said, that's not the story. The story is what the others did. And he said, when the others continued, even while watching their own families die, he said, that's what convinced our tribe that what their message was the truth. So can you picture this with me? It wasn't the fact, the message isn't first what got them. It was the fact that these missionaries were willing to continue in that message even when everything went wrong. Folks are watching us as well, folks. People, your co-workers, your neighbors, they're watching us and they want to see how we live. They want to see if we're going to continue. So the title of my message that I didn't give you at the beginning is simply that, continue. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Verse 46, they continued daily. We may not be some bold, bombastic personality. You know, Joe Arthur came through last fall and swung in and preached with power and vigor and enthusiasm, and you may never be that way, and I may not either. But in this passage, the trait that God highlights is continuing. Yes, it's important what they continue in, the doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread, but it's equally as important that they continue. And so this morning, my message to everyone watching, listening, or here is, may we continue. May you continue because your kids, your future grandkids, your friends of your children, whoever, they are watching us. And I want them to see Christians that continue. So important it was that God put in this passage of Scripture and highlighted the fact that they continue. May we continue for the glory of God. Would you bow your heads together with me? Lord, I pray that you would help us be those that continue, Lord. Lord, it's important to have the doctrine and the fellowship and the bread and the prayers, yes. But Lord, many people have started in those things, but they did not continue. And Lord, we sometimes, when we stop short, we do not give you much to work with as you take our lives and work on the lives of other people. So I pray for myself, and I pray that folks with me would today commit to you to continue. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, folks, or maybe you're listening online or on the radio. I preach to Christian folks this morning that you need to continue for the glory of God till God comes and gets you. But perhaps you're with us today and you're not sure that you're saved. The Bible is very clear that there's only one way to get to heaven. It's not through being a member of this church or any other church. You could be a member of several and still not go to heaven. There's only one way that a person leaves this world and goes to heaven, and that's by being saved, being born again. Two phrases for the same experience. That is where you receive Jesus Christ into your life for the forgiveness of sins. It's a matter of faith that you by faith ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You see, my friend, all of us sin. And all of us deserve, if we got what we deserve to spend the eternity in hell. But Jesus died on the cross for you and for me so that all of us could go to heaven and dwell forever with Him. And all a person needs to do is receive Him into your life as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. He died, He was buried, He rose again in victory over death, hell, and the grave. And He's waiting for you to receive Him as the Savior that He is. He wants to be your personal Savior. So if you're here today and you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior, then today is the day that you ought to open your heart, open your life, and ask Him to come in. If you're needing to be saved, I trust that you would. If you're a Christian, though, the need of this hour is for you to commit to God today to say, I'm going to continue. You say, preacher, I don't know where I'll be in a year or 2 years. Neither do I. We may all be in heaven. I don't know where I'll be. I don't know either, but I know as long as God leaves us on this earth, we need to continue. For God's glory and for the sake of our friends and our co-workers and our children, we need to continue. Bless us, Father, is our prayer, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as Miss Carmen plays? If God's speaking to your heart this morning, this altar is open for you. Perhaps you'd like to come and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to continue. Maybe you'd like to come and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. If you're here today and not sure, I invite you to come. If you're watching via live stream, right there where you sit, if you're a Christian, you know you need to continue. Would you just make a little altar out of your seat or your chair, wherever you're at? Just say, Lord, the preacher's right. I just need to keep on keeping on. I need to move on for the glory of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. and the breaking of bread, fellowship. It brought a great change, and it brought praises, and it brought singleness of heart, and it brought gladness. Whatever your need is, I trust that you'd let the Lord work in your life right now. Thank you so much. You may look this way. As we close our service today, I want you to be praying. Pray for folks to be safe as they're out and about. Pray for Brother Ron Smith. You know, I mentioned in a service or two back, he broke his arm, and pray for him as he recovers from that. Pray for Miss Lori Green, and she'll have surgery. I think that's tomorrow, and they're probably watching. We're praying for her that the Lord would give a great victory through that surgery on her broken ankle and broken leg, and so I want you to keep her in your prayers. Brother Marty will have some surgery coming up in a week and a half or so on his shoulder, and we're praying for him. The Lord would just give him great recovery after that, and we're continuing to pray for Brother Caleb Ripley, and I believe he came home from the hospital. Is that right? And we're so thankful for that. I want you to keep him in your prayers. The Lord would just continue to strengthen him. So we've got many to pray for, but those are a few. And don't forget to pray for Brother Garber in the passing of his dad. And again, I say to you, if you're here in person, what a joy it is to be in church. And aren't you glad you made it in here? Look, you had a little extra time this morning. You could go to Burger King and get a croissant, or you could go wherever, or you just sit at home and get a little extra cup of coffee and then come on in here at 11. And those of you who joined us online, thank you so much for being there, and we're joyed to be together. Again, tonight at 6:30, we'll make an announcement this afternoon. I wish I could now, but we just want to be safe about that, and we want to give as much time as we can. So we'll have online service for sure. And then I'll let you know about the in-person service. But that, like every service, you know, we can't be everywhere. So it may be fine in one spot, but over at your house, it's icy and not safe. Well, just be wise about that. And so thank you for being in church this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed.